today on Real Radio.
The word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? What is the gift of the word of wisdom? Have you ever heard of it before? You will, if, you would have if you've read your Bible in this area, the word of wisdom, but it's rarely ever talked about.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This is actually a series taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, as well as other passages. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at the fourth key point of our study in this series that has come upon us, really. And the fourth point is the operation of the gifts and the way that they're used. And this is really part two of an ongoing series within a series on the operation of the gifts and what they all mean. And we're using Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16 to make our place of teaching here. And so Paul tells us, he says in chapter 4, verse 7, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now this, quote, "he ascended," what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? We'll talk about this, by the way, on Sunday. "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things or fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints." You ought to underline that. "For the work of the ministry. And thirdly, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And he goes on, verse 13, "till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete or mature man," that is a Christian, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit to us, not that we might shine, but that Jesus might touch the world through us. When God gives the gifting of the Holy Spirit to us, whatever that gift might be, it's not for us to stand up, but it's for us to bow down and give Him the glory. Nowhere, ever, in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of any gift, be it the gifts of apostleship, to the gift of speaking in tongues, to the gift of prophecy, to the gift of knowledge, should it ever be done to draw attention to self. Whenever that's done, whoever that person might be in the practice of that gift is negating the very purpose of the giving of the gift, and that is that the body might be unified and edified. And so we need to be a people careful to seek out and to find out what gift or gifts the Lord has given us. And when we come to the end of this series, we're going to do a little study about what gifts or gifting you might have within this body. But remember this, in all of the operation of the gifts, love has got to be preeminent. It's got to be the arena, the theater of operation regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If love is the fuel to all of our labors, God will be glorified, the church will be unified, and the world will eventually be evangelized by the working and by the gifting of the Holy Spirit. If you and I desire to bless the Lord that we love so much, we say we do, then we must first of all approach Him with our Bibles open, with our hearts willing to embrace what the Holy Spirit has for us as the source of the gifts. Remember, Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, when you ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, He's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you something evil. And unfortunately, by a misrepresentation and many denominations of the gifts, people are afraid to ask God to give them a gift. They're afraid that if they ask God, "Oh Lord, you know, give me what gift you've ordained for my life," that somehow they're going to start speaking in Babylonian and running up and down the chairs. And no, that won't happen. That won't happen. The Holy Spirit will not do that. The Bible says He does all things decently and in order. He won't do it. But He wants to gift us for ministry. All of us in this church should be ministering. If you're not here last Wednesday night, we're going to ask you to get the tape. But you need to be ministering. Oh, here he goes again, trying to... No, I'm not asking you to do something for this church. I'm asking you to do something for you. You will never grow as much as you would if you would get committed to a ministry, because all of a sudden now you're accountable. You can't hide. They're expecting you at 8 o'clock. They're leaning on you. And you have to go. And then let's pray. So now you're praying a little bit more. And now you're meeting people. I can't believe the people. I met a couple of people last week after service. And they said, oh, hi, Pastor Jack. We've been coming here for 2 years. And I get so mad at that. I can't believe it. 2 years. I want to meet you. We need to meet. But the thing is we can't just hide. If God is doing a work by the Holy Spirit, there will be a sense of community. And we're going to want to labor together. And this church, you need to be taking the pulse of this church. If this church is asleep at the wheel, get out of here and take me with you. I hope I'm not the one putting it to sleep. But let's go where the Holy Spirit's moving. Listen, you need to be checking the pulse of every church that you visit and find out which one's for you. Why? Not that you can get things out of it, but what you can pour into it. You'll experience true growth if you do that. It's so very important. But how does God work? He works through us. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, we know it well. He says, it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit? No, my spirit, saith the Lord. God wants to do the work through us. And he delights in that, strange thing, but he loves it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when does God work through us? Well, Jesus said, but you shall receive power, that is the Holy Spirit's power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the result is, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even Chino Hills. It will happen. Isn't that amazing? You are a byproduct of what happened on the day of Pentecost, a long way away from here. Isn't that amazing? We've come to faith in Jesus by what happened there in Acts chapter 1. But the Holy Spirit is our greatest need in the area of the gifts and the operation of the gifts. He's the governor, he's the guide, and he wants us to love him, to approach him and say, Lord, I want you to do everything that you want. Can you do that right now in your life? Can you say that to God? Do you trust him enough to say, Lord, I want you to do whatever you want in my life? Can you do that? Oh, man, if you're hesitating, either you're playing church or you don't know his nature. And hopefully it's just because maybe you don't know his nature. His nature is loving, he's kind, he's gentle. But what if he sends me to Bangladesh or to Biafra or, you know, what if? I guarantee you, he will never send you to those places without putting the love for Biafra in your heart. You will say, Jack, please, can't we do an outreach to Biafra? And we're all going to say no, because no. God will put it in your heart. That's how he works. You'll never go to a mission field somewhere and you meet up with a missionary. How you doing here in the jungle with the big snakes and spiders? And I can handle those things. Forget the humidity. That's no way. But how are you doing here? Love it. You want to like come home for a vacation? No way. They love the work. They've been called to it. We look at it and say, thank God for missionaries like that. When God does a work in your heart by the Holy Spirit, he will infuse within you a passion. You'll be waking up in the mornings or in the night thinking about a mission. It could be to your boss. It could be to your employees. I think I need to tell that person. And it begins to bake. It begins to cook. It's an awesome thing. Don't refuse him. Trust him enough to say, Lord, I'm coming before you. I'm scared to death, but I'm asking you to fulfill your plan in my life. And he's going to gift you. He'll do it. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, I tell you the truth. I thought about that today. I tell you the truth. Well, no kidding. What do you expect to hear from him? He's talking to people like us. He had to say, I'm going to tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will, number one, convict the world of sin. Number two, of righteousness. Number three, of judgment. Because they do not believe in me. He says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And you'll see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Interesting. The Holy Spirit was to come. Jesus says, I'm going so that the Holy Spirit can come. And he'll dwell in our hearts forever. And those of us who are believers know that. It's interesting that he mentioned three things, though, concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. First thing was of sin. He would convict the world of sin. You and I do not have to be the Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit goes around and he points on people's chests. He's convicting them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Everywhere, in every culture, every place in the world, people are convicted, even without the Bible. I heard a missionary speak. He became a missionary because somebody visited his tribe in Africa with the gospel. And he stood and he said, you know what, before I ever knew the Bible, I was convicted when I did wrong. And later he found out that the conviction led him to the Lord. But then Jesus said of righteousness, he says, God will grant to us, is what he's saying, power to live the Christian life. He will, the Holy Spirit, come and speak of righteousness. The Holy Spirit will live the Christian life through us. And I love it. You are probably tired of hearing about it. I think about it often. But the book of Ezekiel tells us that the priest of the Lord could not sweat. It was against the law for them to sweat. In fact, they even had to wear cotton, I think it was, under their armpits to prevent them from sweating. Because God says, my priest shall not sweat. And then Peter tells us later on that Christians are God's kings and priests in the earth. We're God's priests. Isn't that neat? No sweat. Oh, Christianity is so hard. It's so difficult. Hey, you're doing it wrong, man. Something's wrong. Yeah, there's, you know, attacks. And yeah, there's trials and tribulations. But man, when we're focused on Jesus, we can cut through the greatest of things. Just this or last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a sister and she was overwhelmed because there are things going on in her life and the Lord had taken her into a wilderness. And you know, if you've ever been there in a dry spell of your Christianity, it's fatal. I mean, it's like you can tell them anything and it's like, I don't know. You ever been there? I'm there about every other week. God, are you out there? I never doubt his existence. I doubt if I belong to him sometimes. Did you leave me? I don't feel you. God, except I hear it like this. God, 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 God. Are you there? There, there, there. He's there. And he'll bring us through those dry spells. Teaching us that he's faithful, that he's true, that he's committed to us. And that he's going to do the Christian life through us. We just need to come into his arms and rest and be that child and let him carry us along. And then he says of judgment. Because all know, everyone knows, everywhere in the world, again, it's global, that the world will come someday under judgment. Every person has the fear of death until Christ comes into their life. Everyone's afraid. Afraid to die unless, what is this, another two people or one more person dies at the hands of heaven's gate? That man sits there and sends his video to his family. And I'm happy. I know what I'm doing. And you're looking at a man whose conscience, as we mentioned last week, seared with a hot iron, completely, completely destroyed by Satan, and commits suicide. But the Lord speaks to all people around the world that there'll be a time of judgment. Thank God Jesus tells us, for Christians have come from judgment into life. In 1 John 2:20, the Bible says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You didn't know you knew that, did you? You have an anointing from the Holy One. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. Well, the reference is, it's not that you know all of your calculus or even remember it. It means you know all things as it applies to spiritual things, spiritual life. That's a powerful statement. Paul says in another place that the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. But the spiritual man discerns all things, and no one can judge him. That means he's walking before God with the mind of Christ. In John 16, 13, Jesus says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's a promise, people. You'll never fall into heaven's gate or get caught in its hinges. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you, I love this, of things to come. Prophecy, I like that. And then again in 1 John 2:27, the Bible says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. It takes up residence in your heart. You'll be able to discern what's right or wrong. And you do not need that anyone should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, it is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, will abide, or you will abide in him. That's wonderful. Now we come to our study. Are you ready? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12:4. We're going to be talking tonight on the gift of the Holy Spirit as mentioned here, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 8 of the Word of Wisdom. What is it? In 1 Corinthians 12:4, the Scripture says there are diversities of gifts, different gifts, but the same Spirit. You see in your Bible, capital S? Capital S means Holy Spirit. That's the person of the Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all, that is unity. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all of us. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the first part of that verse, and that is the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? What is the gift of the word of wisdom? Have you ever heard of it before? You will, you would have if you've read your Bible in this area, the word of wisdom, but it's rarely ever talked about. First of all, jot it down. The word wisdom in Greek here in the New Testament is the word Sophia. If your name's Sophia, it means this, that you're wise. Isn't that a great name? Sophia. The word in the New Testament sense means a God-given ability to apply spiritual knowledge to a specific situation. What a definition, huh? To have the ability. It's a God-given ability. Not just wisdom of the world, but as a God-given ability to apply spiritual knowledge, Bible, to a specific situation. And boy, does that speak volumes. You can have all of the knowledge of the Bible in the world and be, so to speak, spiritually dumb, not wise. You can be, well, how many of you heard of George Whitefield? Great George Whitefield. You look at some of the great Puritan preachers of 100 years, 200 years ago. Great preachers. Many of them came to Christ well into their ministries. They had gone through theology. They had gotten all of their degrees, been ordained, and were pastoring churches. And then you read their own writing, and they say, but one day I woke up, and I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior of my life, and I was born again. Hi, ay, ay. But you can have knowledge. and never come to Christ, never know Him. You can know the Bible. You can be teaching Bible theology in a university and have all the scriptural knowledge and be able to do what two guys did in Florida, what was it, 2 years ago? I told you about this when it happened. On a radio station in Florida, they had a call-in, and it was a challenge on Bible verses. And you can relax. There is no way we're going to get done with this study tonight. And they had this call-in thing. And this guy would, the host on the radio would say, 1 Chronicles 9:4. And these guys were on the line. And the guy would say, I don't know how they kept them from line, but they were on the phone, and they got these two qualifiers. These guys came down, and they were the best Bible verse quoters, these guys. So they brought them into the studio, and they had a runoff. And they were sitting there on the air with the host. And the guy goes, 2 Chronicles 29:18. Oh, Parbar westward at the causeway. It's some very bizarre verse like that. And we'll look it up. Isn't it 2 Corinthians 29:18 or 28, something like that? Anyway, the guy quotes it, and the guy quoted it, and the opponent says, that's wrong. And he says, no, it's not. And he goes, yes, it is. That's wrong. You said it wrong. So they played the tape back, and they got in such an argument over the air that one guy pulled out a gun and shot the guy right in the air. Knowledge. Listen, wisdom is the exercise of knowledge. You can have all Bible knowledge. You can be in a situation and blow the whole thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called United in the Gifts. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Now, we've mentioned a few times recently a valuable resource for your loved one who is a professing believer but has, well, fallen out of fellowship. And who better to tell you more about this resource than our teacher himself, Pastor Jack?
Mike, you know this is dear to my heart, and you know that I love to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing more exciting than that. When I say almost, this is something that really drives my heart as a pastor. And that's those who know Jesus, but they've walked away from Him. They're the ones that Jesus spoke about in Luke's gospel, the prodigal son. Maybe you're the prodigal daughter today, and you're far from God. And you're hearing this program right now, and it's got your attention. You're living a life that you know is not pleasing to God. I want you to know something. The Lord is saying to you, Christian, come home. He's inviting you to come back to have your sins forgiven and your fellowship reestablished with the Lord. That can happen now, my friend. Or maybe you know somebody who's in that condition today that they need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, for a gift of $20 or more to support Real Radio, there's a 4-DVD set entitled Christian Come Home, taken out of Luke's Gospel, Life of the Prodigal Son. Christian, if you're not walking with God, come on back. Christian, come home now.
Okay, so once again, to get Pastor Jack's DVD set, Christian, Come Home, call, click, or write. Again, for your gift of $20 or more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, for the cost of a stamp, you can just write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, that's for your gift of $20 or more. If you missed any of this contact information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.